Over the years, there have been a number of questions that I've been asked and others have been asked about Passover. It seems to be there are certain questions that come up over and over again that people have questions about. So I thought in some ways Passover is one of the most important feasts we keep because it pictures the only way any of us human beings have an opportunity for salvation. And of course, that's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Peter spoke to the Jewish rulers in the early days of the New Testament church. I guess I'll turn and read that in Ephesians 4. I'm sorry, in Acts chapter 4. Why did I say Ephesians? Peter didn't write Ephesians. In Acts chapter 4, Peter made the statement when they had asked him about healing that had taken place. I'm going to just pick it up in verse 10. Peter is speaking. He says, "Let it be known to you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. For in this the stone which is rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So it's through Jesus Christ that we have the opportunity for salvation. And we're told the Passover symbols picture the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that death penalty can be avoided for us, and we have a chance for eternal life. So Passover is a very important feast, not that the others aren't important, but it is very crucial in that sense. Understanding it is very crucial to our salvation. God didn't command Passover day to be a day like the rest of the annual Sabbaths, and I do find that interesting. And you ask me why, and I say, I don't know. Because God doesn't specifically say. I mean, I can speculate. We could all speculate on why Passover is not a holy day, but it is a crucial and important festival of God. Passover is very, very important to us. Over the years, as I say, a lot of questions have come up about Passover, and I thought since it's only a month away, today would be a good day for us to review some of those, perhaps go through them, look at some of these questions that have come up, and look at some of the answers that we have been able to find in the Bible and some that we have come to conclude based on what we do read in the Bible and God's Word. So what I want to cover today is Passover, but specifically questions or controversies that have come up over the years concerning Passover. And I guess one of the biggest ones, and there are probably many different ways of asking this question or phrasing this question, but when is Passover? One of the biggest controversies about Passover involves the date and the timing. Is it the 14th? Is it the 15th? Do we keep Passover? Do we eat the Passover symbols on the 14th, or do we do it on the 15th? When it comes to a controversy that has raged for centuries, I will have to say that I cannot answer every question to everyone's satisfaction because there will be always someone who will go to another source. And we've seen this over the years. They will find another source that agrees with the Jewish view of things and will say, well, see, this source says this. So if you are more concerned about following Jewish tradition, you won't be happy with my answers today. But if you want to look at the Bible and let the Bible try to answer its questions, as best we can surmise from what the Bible tells us, then perhaps it will be good for us to review some of this. Many questions have come up over the years, and this is one of the biggest ones. When is Passover? Now, I think in one sense, a very easy one is to say this. Exodus chapter 12, when the Passover begins, the first Passover, of course, was when the children of Israel were in Egypt. Moses had come to the people. God had sent him, and God told Moses to tell Israel that they were to keep a Passover because he was going to pass through Egypt that night, and he was going to destroy the firstborn. Notice what it says in verse 6. Now, he had told them back a few verses earlier that they were to take a lamb, separate it on the 10th day of the month, verse 3 talks about. And in verse 6, he says, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now I'm reading from the New King James. My New King James has the word twilight in here. So they were to separate this lamb on the 10th, they were to keep it to the 14th day, and then kill it at twilight. Now the King James says in the evening, if you have a King James translation. I have several at home, and my King James translation has a marginal note, and it says Hebrew, literally, between the evenings. Between the evenings. Now that is a key phrase, and the Hebrew for that phrase, between the evenings, is a key phrase. And frankly, it's the source of all the contention. Because when does the evening begin? Well, there are some Jewish perspectives that say the evening begins at a different time than some other passages in the Bible tell us that evening begins. And to be honest, there are some passages that make it sound like perhaps there is a different view of it. But let's take a look at this. We should note that on that night, look at verse 12, it was on that night, God says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. So it is that night that they eat the Passover that he says, I will pass through the land. Now there's no controversy over the word night. Night means the darkness. In the darkness, I will pass through the land, I will destroy the firstborn. So, it seems in one sense, it's very easy to say that from verse 6, the 14th, kill it at twilight or in the evening, between the evenings. We know that it had to be killed and they ate it that night, and it is the night in which they ate it that God went through and killed the firstborn of the Egyptians. So that seems pretty logical, pretty simple to hold on to. Notice also in verse 22 that they were not to go out of their houses until morning. I put another scripture up here. We'll come to this one in just a moment. But notice verse 22, he says, take a bunch of hyssop, strike the blood from the lamb on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the last sentence, as our King James, the New King James has it divided into sentences and verses. The last sentence in that verse says, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Now some would argue that, well, morning is any time after midnight. But when you look at the Hebrew words do not mean that. The Hebrew word translated morning is defined by theological word book of the Old Testament as the breaking through of daylight. The breaking through of daylight, not the beginning of the movement toward daylight, but the breaking through of daylight. That daylight is already breaking through and beginning to make an incursion on the darkness. Going on with their definition, it says, thus dawn, or more usually called morning. So they were not to leave their houses when it was still dark. It had to be morning when the light was beginning to break through before they could leave their homes. Now, while we're in this chapter, let's also notice the second feast, unleavened bread, does not start at twilight, as my New King James says here in verse 6. On the 14th, the whole assembly shall kill it at twilight, or that phrase between the evenings. Verse 18, if you look at verse 18, it says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. So it says at evening in the New King James. But you look that word up in the Hebrew, and it's not twilight, it is evening, and it's a different word. It is actually a word that means sundown. So at sundown, you begin the day of unleavened bread for the 21st day. At evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found, and so forth. So sundown was used as the demarcation line between day, or the morning portion of the day. Of course, sundown is when God begins the day. Evening and the morning. Sundown is that delineation. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins with the sundown, and it actually, as we see in Leviticus 23, the 14th day at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and we look at the next verse, it talks about the 15th day as being unleavened bread. So twilight and evening in Exodus chapter 12 are two different things. Take a look at Leviticus 23. I've just given you sort of the key parts of it there. But Leviticus 23, verse 4 says, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And what we saw from Exodus 12 was that it started at a sundown. It would be the sundown that ended the 14th, because we're told here it's the 15th that is unleavened bread. So it starts, unleavened bread starts with that sundown that is the demarcation between the day portion of the 14th and the beginning, the night portion of the 15th. That's when you begin eating unleavened bread. So we have two distinct festivals. Now, what complicates the matter is that the Jews in the first century had tended to combine them. They kind of put them into one lump. You had 8 days, and it was sometimes called Passover, and sometimes it was called unleavened bread. But is that what the Old Testament tells us? No, it tells us the 14th is Passover, the 15th is unleavened bread. That's when unleavened bread begins. So, again, what matters in life is not what I think, not what I say, but is what God says. And to me, this seems very clear that it's the 15th that unleavened bread begins. Let's look at one more passage. This one is the one in Numbers chapter 28. I think it's good for us when we try to wrap our head around the concept of Passover and unleavened bread being distinct festivals back to back. Yes. But distinct festivals in God's plan and in God's description. Let's look at Numbers chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. Again, we have this same delineation that the 14th is the Passover and the 15th begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It says, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day you have all convocation, and the seventh day, so forth. So the holy days are the first and the seventh day. But again, it's the 14th is Passover, 15th is unleavened bread. That is the festival of unleavened bread beginning on the 15th. So when is Passover? Seems pretty clear it's the 14th, and that the 15th is not Passover, even though that's what some Jews celebrate today in their Seder meal. It is not Passover. That is unleavened bread. So, again, this seems to be a big question that goes on and on. But let's take a look at, with that background of God's instruction in the Old Testament, look at what Jesus did in the New Testament. Now, this chart is one we've used probably many different times, but it gives kind of that final Passover, the last day of Christ's life and the last days. And it begins with the daylight portion of Tuesday, and you'll see the demarcation of sunset on that top left column. That sunset delineates the difference between the daylight portion of the 13th of Abib or Nisan. As you notice, the bottom of the page has the days in the Hebrew calendar. The night portion begins the 14th, which is Passover itself. And you'll see all of the passages in Luke chapter 12 that are marked there. I don't know if you can read all of those, and it may be a little bit small for you, but Luke chapter 12 is very clear that Jesus Christ told the disciples to go into the city, find us a place, prepare the Passover, that's where I'm going to eat the Passover. And when Luke records it, he records Jesus saying, I've desired with a, you know, I've got strong desire to eat this Passover. and he eats what he calls the Passover. Now, this is the one that gave the instruction in the Old Testament about Passover. So is he doing something different than what he gave in the Old Testament? I wouldn't think so. I would think he's doing the exact same thing that he instructed in the Old Testament. He has introduces a foot washing, as we find in John 13. They have the Passover service. He goes out. He's betrayed that evening. Then we come to Wednesday, the daylight portion of Passover. And it is on that day that he is brought before Herod. He's brought before Pilate. He is ultimately led away to be crucified. He dies in the afternoon, sometime in the middle of the afternoon, perhaps, around 3 o'clock. And the best date that we've believed for Passover, that particular Passover, was AD 31. And that day, that year, the Passover fell on a Wednesday. So that Tuesday night and Wednesday were the day of Passover, the evening and the morning, the daylight portion. And the evening of Wednesday night began the 15th, which was the first day of unleavened bread. So Luke 22 is very clear that Christ kept Passover. Now, would he have done it at some time other than what he had given the ancient Israel without telling the disciples, without there being some question? Why are we eating it today? We always eat it, tomorrow night. There is no questioning. It's simply they go, they eat the Passover, and Jesus Christ calls it a Passover. So that really leads to this next question that is a bit of a concern, because people who think the Passover meal should be eaten on the 15th, what we call the night to be observed, the beginning of the first day of unleavened bread, will say, but lambs were killed in the afternoon. Later, when the temple was there and people would bring their lambs to the temple, they had to begin killing them in the afternoon. And so they killed them in the afternoon in the daylight portion of the 14th, and then they would eat it that night in the 15th. Is that the way it was done? Well, let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Let's look again at some of the words, and I know this is a bit technical, but the lambs were kept until the 14th. We read that in verse 6. They were killed at twilight, we're told. Now, this Hebrew term, which I'll probably spare your ears or anyone who knows Hebrew and not try to pronounce it, but it is a phrase that Strong's lists as a number. That's a Strong's number, 6153, that is translated in the evening, the New King James, or the King James has it, or twilight, the New King James has it. Strong's Concordance uses the same number for this and for another phrase that we'll see next. And it's this phrase that's been the source of argument for centuries. Jewish tradition says between the evenings can be anywhere from noon to darkness. Anywhere in that time period it could be called in between the evenings. But let me give you the way the Jewish Society, Jewish Publication Society, the New English Bible, and the Moffat translate this. The Jewish Publication Society translates it as dusk. Now, dusk is a very specific word that doesn't mean 12:01 in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 or 5 in the afternoon. Dusk is when it's beginning to get dark. It's very late in the day. The New English Bible translates it between dusk and dark. In other words, the sun has gone down, it's starting to get dark, but it's not dark yet until it gets all the way dark. So somewhere in that time period is the New English Bible. Moffat translation says between sunset and dark. So you see different translations, different translators kind of phrase it a little bit differently, but these three translations all show it to be very, very late in the day, not in the afternoon. And that's in line with the Brown Driver Briggs Lexicon of the Old Testament. That's one of the authoritative and conservative lexicons for the Old Testament words, or for Hebrew words. They say the phrase means that same thing, that it means between the evenings, between dusk and dark, between sundown and darkness, that's the definition they give to it. So for now, let's assume that definition for their phrase. Now, there's another phrase in verse 18 for the start of unleavened bread, and that is that phrase, notice it is similar, vaguely similar, really not a whole lot that is the same, but it is another phrase, ba'erev, that's translated even in the King James and evening instead of twilight in the New King James. And get back to Exodus chapter 12. That's in verse 18 when the first day of unleavened bread begins. The confusing part is you notice the number is the same, 6153 for Strong's. When the Strong's concordance was put together, they viewed them as being the same. But Brown, Driver, Briggs, and other lexicons, more authoritative lexicons or more in-depth lexicons, say they're not the same because they have different meanings. They mean two different things. One means sunset, and the other one means between sunset and dark. So that one's a period of time and one's a very distinct time period, a point in time. The other is a period in time. So the confusing part, and I think part of why there's been such confusion over the years and over the centuries is because of that. Let's take a look at one other word. This one, B-O-Q-E-R. Notice it is a very different Strong's number, 1242. This one is translated morning in verse 22. It's the one I read you earlier. Don't leave your house until morning. This word morning, again, I'm giving you the Brown, Driver, Briggs definition from this. But it comes from a root word, and this is a lot of Hebrew words are variations of root words. The root word means to split or to divide, to penetrate. You split something. You divide it apart. And Brown, Driver, Briggs says this is from a root that means to split or to penetrate as the dawn does the darkness. In other words, it's when the rays of light begin to wipe out the darkness. I've sat on deer stands many times or on a stand when it's still pitch black and you can hardly see your hand and can't see your hand in front of your face. And then there comes a time when you look around and suddenly, oh, I can see something there. And then before long, you can start seeing the shape of trees. Don't have any idea what kind of tree they are, but you know there's some kind of a lump over there that looks like a tree. Some people make the mistake that's a deer and start blasting, and then you're in trouble. That's why you wait until it gets lighter. But the light is beginning. I mean, the process is the light is beginning to split, to push away the darkness. It's the process as it begins toward dawn, as we come toward morning. So based on what we see here, the Passover lambs in Exodus 12 were to be kept up to the 14th, which begins at sundown, and then killed between sundown and dark, between the evenings. Therefore, they would have been eaten at that time on the 14th, which is the Passover. Remember, the 14th doesn't begin till sundown, and it continues through the daylight portion of the next day. So that's why we've seen for many years and felt comfortable with that description of the Passover and the way Jesus Christ did the Passover in the New Testament not being a drastic difference from the Old Testament. So that raises this question then, okay, did Israel eat the Passover and leave the same night? Well, I think from what I've gone through already, it should be pretty clear they didn't. They weren't to leave that night. They were specifically were told not to leave till morning. Again, notice this statement in Deuteronomy chapter 16 that God says they came out by night. Again, this is not an unclear word. Night means the darkness. Deuteronomy 16 verse 1, I'll turn there real quickly, but I've given you kind of the key part of it in this slide. Deuteronomy 16 verse 1, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. So it's by night that they came out. They didn't come out at a different time. But they couldn't leave their houses until night was no longer there. So the obvious answer to the question is no, they didn't eat it the same night. And here's a chart that we've used, again, many times to delineate the different parts of that Passover in Exodus 12, the way it seems to best fit with what Jesus Christ did in the New Testament. That they would have kept the lambs up to the 14th. That means on the 13th, the lambs would have still been alive at this point at, as I'm moving the cursor here, at that gray period when sundown occurred. You've now entered the 14th. They kill it at evening on the 14th. They roast it. They eat it that evening. That's the time when God says he kills the firstborn of Egypt, man and beast. They're not to go out of their house until morning. So it is that next morning on the 14th that they come out of their houses. The remains of the meal are burned. They bake unleavened bread. They get ready. They move to Ramses. And they leave the next evening, this night, the first day of unleavened bread. The time we talk about is a night to be much observed. We have a meal. We don't have a service that night. But we do have a meal. So this fits. I mean, if we just look at this and what Jesus Christ did, they overlay each other perfectly. That this would fit with what he did in terms of keeping the Passover. Now comes the $64 million question. Why did the Jews do what they did in the first century? And we turn to the book of John, and we find that the Jews in the first century, and I need to be very distinct about this, some of the Jews in the first century, the ones that were taking Jesus to Pilate, to the praetorium, to be judged by him, were concerned about being able to eat the Passover. But you remember Jesus ate the Passover the night before with his disciples. He ate it the night he was betrayed, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. So here they were the next morning, the next day, taking him to, trying to get him before Pilate to be judged and condemned. And we read in verse 28, let me read the whole verse. It says, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves, speaking of these Jewish leaders, they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled. Hold that thought, side note. What would defile them? Well, in the Jewish mind of the first century, if you've been following the Book of Acts series that Mr. Johnson is doing, being around a Gentile was enough to defile you, that you could not come into God's presence and you could not eat the Passover. So they didn't want to come into Pilate's presence. They didn't want to go into this Gentile area, this Gentile court of judgment, because they wanted to keep the Passover. So they did not, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So they obviously were eating the Passover that evening, whether it was later in that afternoon on the 14th or whether it was on the beginning of the 15th, that night or dusk to darkness period or even into the night of the 15th. Now that's the big question. We already saw in Luke 22 that Jesus kept the Passover the night before, and he died in the afternoon and he was buried right before sundown. So why were the Jewish leaders, or these Jewish leaders, keeping Passover one night later than Jesus Christ? Well, again, it's hard to delineate an answer specifically from the Bible. I can't turn to a scripture that says, the Jews kept it because, at that time, because. There is no scripture specifically that says that. But you look at history, and you look at what Jesus Christ had to say, and Jesus Christ had a lot to say to the Jews about their traditions. There were many things that he condemned the Jews for, and quite a bit of it had to do with their traditions actually not just being additions to God's law, but actually opposing God's law, breaking God's law by their traditions. So it's not the law of God that Jesus was against, and he had a lot to say about the Sabbath and the way the Jews had made the Sabbath a burden. That is not what Jesus Christ was against, although most of modern Christianity wants to you to believe that. Oh, he was doing away with the Sabbath. That's why he was all upset at the Jewish leaders. No, he was upset at the Jewish leaders because of all they added to the Sabbath commandment. Said, God never said that. You said that. God didn't say you could give things as Corban to the church or to the temple and cut your parents out and not support them. You're breaking God's law to honor your parents by your tradition of saying if you label it as Corban or dedicated to the temple, then you don't have to help your parents. There was a key phrase what Jesus said at one point, and many such things they do. So there were a lot of things that the first century Jews, and we need to keep that in mind, many things they did that were not accurate according to God. Again, no one questioned Jesus Christ and the disciples for keeping the Passover the night before when they did. In fact, there are some historical references that indicate that two nights were being kept by the Jews. And the indication is that it was the Sadducees who were keeping the Passover primarily at the same time Jesus Christ did. And it was the Pharisees primarily, you'll find crossovers in any group, but primarily were keeping it the following night when these Jews in John chapter 18 wouldn't go before Pilate because they wanted to eat the Passover the night after Jesus had eaten the Passover. Now who knows which group, Pharisees or Sadducees, survived the destruction of the temple in AD 70? Pharisees. So who do you think gets to write the history of the Jews and the tradition of the Jews? The Pharisees, because they're the only group that survived as an authoritative group of Judaism. So it's not a put down, it's just explaining how we have what we have from Jewish tradition. We have it because it has come through the Pharisees. As I say, there are some indications that they were the group that was more keeping Passover on the night after Jesus Christ died, the night he was put into the tomb, rather than the night that he ate it with his disciples. So, again, this verse has caused a lot of arguments over the centuries, but if we look at what Jesus did, we follow the example of what Paul says he was taught by Jesus Christ himself, and what he told the Gentile church in Corinth, primarily a Gentile area, what he told them to do, that it was on the same night that he was betrayed, that he took bread, broke it, gave, and said, do this in remembrance of me. So we come back to the Passover being on the 14th, and it is entirely on the 14th. Not kill the lambs on the 14th and then eat them on the 15th after sundown, but it's all on the 14th, at the beginning of the 14th. Now, that raises another question that I've been asked a number of times over the years, and different people bring it up in different ways at different times. And I have to admit that sometimes people can bring a certain logic to it, asking this question. If we eat unleavened bread with Passover, then why do we eat leavened bread the next day? I mean, isn't unleavened bread supposed to be symbolic of getting rid of sin, of leaving Egypt behind? Then why do we go back to Egypt on the next day? And on its surface, that seems to be a question that has some validity. At least it needs an answer. Why would we do that? Okay, let's go back to the very beginning. When do the days of unleavened bread begin? Is it the 14th or is it the 15th? It's the 15th. It's the end of the 14th that unleavened bread begins. When does leaven picture sin and Egypt? It's only during the days of unleavened bread. Or, look at the other point, when is the other time that God said, I don't want any leaven here? Anytime there was a meal offering, a grain offering, a meat, whatever they call it, a cereal, I read one that calls it a cereal offering. Anytime there was a grain offering, God very specifically says, I don't want leaven with that. Let's take a look at this passage, Leviticus 2, verse 11. Now, understanding this statement from God makes it pretty clear that unleavened bread was not like it is today. I mean, today, if we want unleavened bread, if we want to purchase unleavened bread, we got to wait till this time of year, don't we? And then we got to hunt like mad to try to find it in stores because not very many stores carry it. Everybody goes to Granary at that time, right? No, there are a couple of other stores that carry it too, I think. But it's not like that in the Old Testament. Unleavened bread was very common. In fact, you had to work harder to make leavened bread than you had to have unleavened bread. Unleavened bread, you put it together quickly and you ate it. You baked it and you ate it. You didn't have time to rise. You didn't have time for it to become leavened. It was the quickest, in that sense, way to make bread. Not to be confused with quick breads today, which I know are leavened. Why do we do that, ladies? Why do y'all do that? Anyway, I know it's a quick recipe, whatever. But all right, let's look at verse 11. It says, "No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire." So all through the year, when any time there was a grain offering, it had to be an unleavened cake that was baked and offered to God and was burned. Unleavened bread was common throughout the year, particularly in the sacrifices, specifically in the sacrifices. Now, there's one exception to that. Of course, you can go to Leviticus 23 and see all the specifics about the two loaves on the day of Pentecost, the first fruits, and that those two loaves were to be baked with leaven. But it's very specific because this says no leaven is burned. But that particular time, you bring two loaves and they are leavened on the day of first fruits. We call it Pentecost today in the New Testament. So unleavened bread was very common in offerings to God. Unleavened bread does not start until the 15th. Again, remember our point there. It's the 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It begins at the beginning of at the very end of the 14th at sundown. The 15th begins, and from that time on, you eat unleavened bread, and it specifically says for 7 days, not for 8 days. So, notice that unleavened bread also pictures deliverance. Passover shows deliverance from sin. And again, as I say, leaven does not always equal sin. In fact, remember the parable, or the analogy Jesus said? He said the kingdom of God is like leaven. If leaven always pictured sin in God's mind, 365 days a year, why would Jesus Christ use a parable and say, or use an analogy and say, the kingdom of God is like leaven? He just says that, you know, it grows, it's like leaven. But he's using it in a very positive sense. It's when, once Jesus Christ returns, he's going to establish it, and it's going to go out from Jerusalem, and it'll eventually encompass the whole earth. So leaven, again, is not always equated to sin. Now, during the days of unleavened bread, it does equate that. It does represent that. And we're supposed to leave Egypt behind. We're supposed to get rid of sin. Passover pictures our sins being forgiven. Obviously, Jesus Christ was not leavened. He had no sin. So anything we eat that pictures him would have to be unleavened, just like all of the sacrifices, the meal offerings, had to be unleavened. So we eat unleavened bread on Passover night, but that does not mean we have begun the days of unleavened bread. And it does not mean in God's eyes that if I eat a piece of toast on Passover morning, or an English muffin or anything else that's leavened, that I have gone back into sin. Because it doesn't picture sin until sundown the next night. Now, maybe some still have an aversion to eating it on Passover day. I don't. I see that as a day to get rid of it from Scripture because God says it begins on the 15th. All right, how does all of this impact us? Well, obviously there's no conclusive way we can answer all the aspects of controversies that have gone on for centuries, right? In one Bible study, I've just unloaded lots of stuff. But we can't answer all the questions. But I hope what I've showed you today is that, or what I've shown you, is that the logic of what Jesus Christ did fits, if we look at it from Brown Driver Briggs' authoritative lexicon conservative lexicon's view of what those words mean in terms of between the evenings, between sundown and darkness, and night, and morning, and sundown. Those Hebrew words, what they mean, it makes it very, very specific. What we can say, of course, is we do what we do because of what we see in the Bible, and we do what we do because of what we see in the New Testament. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll read this one last of all here. How do we explain why the Jews are doing what they're doing? Don't know that we can. I can't. I can look at history, and I can draw some conclusions from historical sources, but I really can't answer that question. I can answer why we do what we do. We do what we do because of what Jesus Christ did. And we do it also because of what Paul tells us when he wrote to the church in Corinth. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in or on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And this was on the Passover, as Jesus Christ clearly stated that he was keeping the Passover when he did this. So the timing is the same as Jesus Christ. 24 hours. And that same night, the night that he was betrayed and before he died. He didn't emphasize eating bitter herbs and lamb and all of that. It was the bread and the wine. And that's what we focus on today as well. All right, we went through a lot. Any comments or questions? Maybe just a refresher, a reminder. Hopefully I didn't spark more questions than answers. I don't see any. Okay. All right. Thank you.